So I'm glad to be back, and even though my name is forgotten, it's okay. And I just want to share with you today about trusting one another, trusting each other. And I want to start by telling you this story about this guy. His name is Chris Roberts, and he is a security consultant. So basically what he does is like he would go around and look at the security of different things and then to see how to make it more secure. So this guy, as he traveled, how many of you have taken an airplane before? Most of you have, right? So now, this guy, when he was traveling on a plane, he suddenly realized something. He realized that there is this box under your seat, which is the flight entertainment system. So being the security expert that he was, he decided to play around with that box. So what he did was he made his homemade cable and he brought it there. And then he connected to that security box. And he realized that somehow he was able to gain control of the plane through the box. He actually tried a few things. He came to realize that he could steer the plane to the left or to the right if he wanted to. So he tried it not only once, but from the year 2011 to 2014, he did it about 15 times on different airplanes. I don't recommend you to go and try it, okay? Don't tell me that while you're trying this because the pastor in this church talk about this and that's why I'm trying this. Okay, but he was able to do this. So knowing this major flaw in the security system of the plane, he decided that I'm going to report this to the FBI. So earlier this year, he sent a report to FBI detailing what he had done. Now, my question for you is, if you were the FBI, what would you do? Okay, would you decide that, okay, this guy is great, he is smart, I'm going to work with him and see what he can do with us? How many of you would do that? A few of you. Yeah, a few of you would do that, right? Okay, what about with some of you, would you decide to say that, well, okay, Mr. Roberts, great, thanks for the information, but from now on, the FBI. We are the expert. We take over. And you just stay away from this. How many of you would do this? Sorry, just one. But, okay, how many of you would arrest him? Lawyer doesn't count. Your opinion doesn't count. How many of you would arrest him? Quite a few of you would, right? What's the difference in these few different responses? Is whether you trust him or not, right? If you trust him, it's that this guy is a good guy. He gave us the information. So I would like to work with him. He did most of the work already. Why not use it and continue, right? But if you don't trust him, then what would you do? You would treat him as a criminal and arrest him. And that's how big a difference trust would make in our relationship. Think about relationships that you have with people. If you trust that person could tell you that the hot stove is cold, you can put your hands on there and you will put it on. But if you don't trust someone, then even if that person tells you that, like, this tastes really good, you would say, well, why did he want me to eat this? Is there something wrong? He want me to try it first before he tastes it? Trust make a big difference in how we interact with one another. And in a church, in a place that we are together as a family, trust is a really, really important thing for us to have. And especially at CT, I know that you guys had a new pastor that came in a couple of months ago, and it's an exciting time for many of you because together you guys feel that you're ready to continue to grow, to build up this church together. But in the process, trust is really important for you to have to build this team together. So today, I would like to take some time to take a look at what the Bible talks about trust, how to trust one another, and see what we can learn from it. Well, the interesting thing is that when I started to look at biblical passages on trusting one another, guess how many I found? I found zero. The Bible typically, actually, does not talk about trusting one another. It talks about something exactly the opposite. We'll look at one of a few verses. The first one is from Psalm 118. It says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." How many of you have received emails telling you that I have $8 million for you? You just have to send this information and you will receive that money. How many of you have received that? Quite a few of you, right? Do you trust that person? Did any one of you send information to that person? No, right? Did any of you did? No, right? Okay, I'm just want to make sure, okay? We know that if someone just come and tell you something, you cannot trust that person just by whatever they say, right? Now let's look at the next verse. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who are my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Close friends. Now, how many of you have had the opportunity to tell your close friends who your secret crush was and somehow realize that information somehow has been passed to other people that should not have known this information? Close friends sometimes still cannot be trusted. Let's go on to the next verse. In Micah, it says, "Put no trust in a neighbor. Have no confidence in a friend. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." Even families, sometimes we may not be able to trust them. Is that true? Well, ask you a question, okay? How many of you would unlock your phone and give it to your parents so that they could read every single thing on the phone? One, okay? A lot of times, we are concerned about even those that are closest to us. But somehow, there are things that we just don't feel that we can fully trust them. And this is what the Bible talks about, trusting one another. What does it say? You cannot trust one another, right? And some of you may look at this and say, well, okay, but these are passages from the Old Testament. What about New Testament? So let's take a look at the next passage, which is from John, which is what Jesus talked about, right? So Jesus said, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them. Because he knew all people needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." What did Jesus say about people? People cannot be trusted, right? Think about that. Is that true? If you take a look at Jesus' life, what happened to him? Could his disciples be trusted? When Jesus went to Gethsemane to pray, what happened? They fell asleep on him. And eventually, why was Jesus on the cross? Jesus was on the cross because he was betrayed by one of his followers. As a matter of fact, the whole idea about the fall of man is based on what? Take a look at Genesis, a passage that we're very familiar with. "And the Lord of God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." One rule, thing that God told Adam and Eve. Basically, in the Garden of Eden, they have what? They have all-you-can-eat buffet all day long. Okay, fruit and vegetables, but that's still pretty good because those are organic fruits. All day long, you could enjoy the meal. And there's one thing that you should not do. Can Adam and Eve be trusted? No. What happened? They failed. So if you look at the Bible passage, we have to come to realize that mankind just cannot be trusted. But on the other hand, the Bible also talks about the idea that together as one body, we have to trust one another. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." In this passage here, it talks about what? We as brothers and sisters, we together are one body. We have to work with one another. And in this process, you have to trust each other, right? Because when you see something that tastes good, you pick it up, you smell it. What are you trusting? You're trusting your nose would give you the correct information, right? Because otherwise, you wouldn't take a bite of it. You trust one another. And even though it may not state it explicitly, but implicitly, as brothers and sisters, we are to trust one another. You guys are mostly young here. So I want to see how many of you have heard of this actor called Steve Martin. Okay, some of you have, right? Many, many years ago, he did a movie called All of Me. How many of you have seen that movie? Oh, you have. One. Huh? Long time ago. Are you that old? It was quite a while ago. So, that movie is about this really rich woman who was sick. But she wanted to live on. So, because of that, she somehow found someone that could transfer her soul to another physical body. So she found this beautiful woman body to be transferred. But Steve Martin is a comedian, so this is a comedy, right? So of course, what that means is, in the middle of the transfer process, something went wrong. So instead of transferring her soul to this beautiful woman, it got transferred to Steve Martin, who is a lawyer. Now, and I want to show you a clip in the movie that shows Steve Martin just realized that this woman is in his body. And take a look. Hopefully you could see it. Does it work on open office? Oh, it's okay if it doesn't work. Basically, a movie clip files in it. So. It's okay. No? Okay, that's fine. Well, I can't act it out because it's really difficult. But basically, it talks about like the woman is in control of the right half of the body. And Steve Martin himself is in control of the left half of the body. So this would show that like, well, one would try to walk this way, and the other one would try to walk that way. Difficult for him to even move. And in this scene, it actually talks about how they try to, when they realize that's the problem, when they realize that's the issue, then they would try to work out with one another and say, okay, let's try to work together and let's trust each other and so that we could move. So then they would say that, okay, so the woman right half, move first, the foot, and then the man half, move, and the next, together. So they were able to actually start something. It's a lot better than the way I did it, just want you to know. So this movie actually, this clip actually shows us that as part of a body, that's how we need to work with one another. We need to trust one another so that the body can move forward. And as a church, for a church, in order for it to grow as a body, we need to be able to trust one another so that we can work together and move forward. And some of you would be wondering, like, okay, great. Now, on one hand, you told me that men cannot be trusted. We cannot trust human beings. On the other hand, you said that, well, we should trust each other. What are we supposed to do? And I think that that's the intricate part about trusting one another. Because we actually practice that trust a lot in our church, right? Think about it. In order for us to have a service today, many people have done what they are supposed to do. We trust and assume that people would do what they do, right? As a matter of fact, I got a text from Chris today because as I start coming down to the church, I made the wrong turn. So instead of going to Triboro Bridge, I went the other way to like Whitestone Bridge. So that's because of that, I was late. So Chris texted me to say, are you close? Just want to make sure that I will be here. And you guys trust that I will be here. Because if I end up not showing up, then things don't work out. So we have this inherent trust of one another. And I think that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to realize that something has changed once we accepted Christ. In Galatians 3, verse 26, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. As we become a believer in Christ, we are changed. The idea here, talking about baptize and clothe yourself, is because during Paul wrote this letter, a lot of times the baptism, people actually take off all their clothes and go into the river to get baptized. And when they come up from the water, they would have a new robe to be put on. And that's why this idea about their being baptized and being clothed with Christ. That means that once we accept Christ, then we have this new person, Christ, that covers us. And because of that, we have become someone that can be trusted. Why? Because Christ is someone that can be trusted. The Christ that we put on is trustworthy. He is the one that earned our trust by sacrificing his life for us on the cross. He is the one that earns our trust as we continue to experience His Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us daily, leading us to walk daily. But in terms of trusting one another, a lot of times we start by looking at, can I trust the other person? But the more important thing for us to think about actually is, am I a trustworthy person? As I become a Christian, do I become more trustworthy than the way I was before? And talking about how to become trustworthy, I think that we all know some of these basic things about being trustworthy. I guess number one is that we should be honest. And I think that that's the basic criteria about being trustworthy, right? And I don't know how many of you noticed that whenever someone keep on telling you, trust me, trust me, trust me, you usually would be very careful to think about whether you should trust that person. So trust, being trustworthy is not by saying. Instead, you're being trustworthy by how honest you are. Next thing about being trustworthy is about confidentiality, right? We want to be able to stay confident with information that people give us. And what about the next thing? These are all things that you know, so I'm just going to go over it very quickly. It's being open. Is that like you allow people to know who you are, that you don't try to hide what's in your mind, what's inside you, and also to be a reliable person. These are all things that you guys know, but the New Testament actually talks about one thing that's really important for us to be trustworthy, and that's in Luke 16:10. It says, One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. In order for us to be trustworthy, what do we have to do? We have to learn to be able to be trustworthy in little things first. Because if you are not trustworthy in little things, it's very hard for people to trust you in bigger things. I don't know if you know people that keep on telling you that, like, don't worry, when it matters, I can be trusted. There are many examples of that, right? For example, I don't know if you know someone that have talked about, okay, I know I need to study hard, but not yet, later. I know I need to study hard, but I'm not studying so hard because the test I'm taking now actually doesn't matter. When it matters, I will be able to do very well. Don't worry. Or have you heard of someone that talk about, like, oh, this part of the job is not that important. I will do well when I have to. Like, the one example that I could think of is like all these basketball players who cannot make free throws. And what do they always say? They say, I'll make it when it matters, right? And for those of you that watch basketball, you know that actually they don't. Even when it matters, they still can't make it. But we would like to say that, well, when it matters, we'll take care of it. And another example of this would be, I don't know if you have heard people say that, I will settle down when I find the love of my life. But I haven't found that person yet. So I think that I'm just going to be dating all these different people at different times and whenever I want. But when it matters, I will be able to settle down. We somehow think that being trustworthy is like a light switch. You turn it on, then you suddenly become trustworthy. And you can turn it off and just do whatever we want and not be bearing a consequence for it. So it is important for us to realize that we need to be trustworthy in little things, no matter what God calls us to do, that even though it seems to be the most mundane and little jobs that there is, but we will do it faithfully so that we can become trusted. And that's really important, because as you become trustworthy, what that means is you are putting on Christ, that you are allowing the transformational power of Christ to work in your life. And you come to see that that power is real. That power can really change you. And if you see that power can really change you, that's how you can trust other people, because you will come to see that transformational power will also work in all your brothers and sisters. So even though as human beings, by our sinful nature, we cannot be trusted, but this transformational power that works in each of our lives help us so that we can all become people that can be trusted. But this all starts with our own life. We have to come to experience this power first for us to know that this same power can change the people around us so that we can trust one another and we can work with one another based on trust. Now, how many of you have heard of Watergate scandal? That's the next picture. How many of you have heard of that? You should have at least studied that, right? And what is this Watergate scandal about? Basically, it talks about President Nixon, who tried to cover up an illegal break-in at the Watergate Hotel. And eventually, what happened? President Nixon has to resign. He's the only president of the United States that resigned from his post. And during that time, President Nixon has, his main helper. His name is Charles Colson. And he was known as the man that did all the dirty work for President Nixon. And actually, Time magazine described him as, of all the men around former President Richard Nixon, probably none was more hated than Charles Colson, the top hatchet man and tireless inventor of dirty tricks. And one time during an interview, he actually was quoted as saying that he would drive over his own grandmother in order to keep Nixon in the White House. Somehow, during that period of time, Charles Colson accepted Christ and became a Christian. I'm not going to go into details of his conversion, but being known as the hatchet man, being known as the man that did all the dirty tricks, even after he accepted Christ, he realized that it was very difficult for the Christian around him to trust him. People actually continue to say that while he was trying to use his conversion as a way to get himself a better deal. But what they actually did not know was that at the time, what he was being charged with was something that he could defend. And he probably would have been able to escape any jail time if he allowed his legal team to do the work. So he went to tell the prosecutor, because of his Christian faith, he felt that I could not lie. I want to tell the truth. I want to be able to stand on trials and express whatever the truth was. So he went to tell the prosecutor and said that, well, what you have charged me, this is not going to stick. But I will tell you, this is what you can charge me with. Eventually, he was charged with obstruction of justice based on the information that he gave the prosecutor and led to his jail time. And because of that, and because of how people around him continue to see how Christ has changed his life, that he was being trusted by all the brothers and sisters around him. And they actually form a very, very close prayer group to support him to go through the trial, to go through the time that he was in jail and the whole thing. This transformational power of God is real. Even someone who was known as the man of dirty trick can be changed and become someone that could be trustworthy. But his story didn't end there. As he went to jail, he came to see the experience of all the people that were in jail, and he realized that these are people that will not be trusted when they come back to society. And because of that, he started this thing called Prison Fellowship, which is to share the gospel with the prisoners and help them to come to know this transformational power of Christ that he has experienced. And I have put down some of the missions of Christian Fellowship. Can we read that together? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. We believe that no life is beyond the reach of God's power, and we envision a future in which countless prisoners, ex-prisoners, and their families are redeemed, restored, and reconciled through the love and truth of Jesus Christ. We prepare Christian inmates to become leaders of their families, communities, and churches once they are released back into the community. What's so amazing to me is that he is not only trying to help them to come to know Christ. He wants to help these people after they release from prison, that to become leaders of their families, leaders of their communities, and leaders of their churches. He wants these people to be trusted. He wants people to learn how to accept them, how to trust them. And this is someone that experienced the transformational power of Christ and know that that same power can work on everybody. That because of that, he believed that he needs to help all these prisoners, all these criminals, so that they can become trusted members of the community after they are released from prison. And this is the power of Christ's transformation. One of the most untrustworthy group of people, the criminals, can be transformed so that they can become responsible citizens. They can become leaders of the community. Because we must and because of this transformational power of Christ. Looking at the brothers and sisters here, we must trust. We will trust. And we can trust one another. This prison fellowship was so important to the restoration of Christians of criminals that eventually they were being not just in the United States, but they were also being they also have different branches in 125 countries worldwide, and they have worked with over 200 prisoners in the United States alone. And one of the most amazing statistics is that typically for criminals that come out of the release from prison, about 35% of them would end up back in prison in about 5 years. But for people that have come out from his program, from prison fellowship, less than half, 17%, would end up in prison, back in prison within 5 years. So they have shown that they really made a difference in these people's lives. But the reality is that there's still 17% that went back. So that means that even as we experience this transformational power of Christ, as we go through this process called sanctification as Christians, as we learn to become more and more like Christ, there are times that we will fail. So it is still possible that there are times that we will be hurt as we trust brothers and sisters. There are times that we still cannot be trusted. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, it talks about who we should trust. Thus says the Lord, "Curses the man who trusts in man and make flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." When we trust in man, this is the situation. God wants us to know that no matter what, even among brothers and sisters, there are times that we will still fail one another. Ultimately, the only one that we could trust is God Himself. Let's go to the next verse. It continues to say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of the drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." When we trust in the Lord, we are not just a shrub, but we will be like a tree that continue to extend out to get like the roots of a tree that continue to extend out to get the resources that we need. What that means is that even if sometimes we are hurt because we trust the wrong person, God can heal us and God can give us the strength to continue to build, to continue to trust in Him, to continue to work and to serve one another. And that's something that we all have to come to remember, because human beings cannot be fully trusted. As brothers and sisters, as we experience the transformational power of Christ, we can be more trusted than before, but we still cannot be fully trusted. And God is the only one that we can fully trust. I also work for a community center. And a while back, I got an opportunity to go and talk to another Christian organization about the opportunity of cooperating together and to work on a project together. So when I went there to meet with the head of that person, who is a pretty well-known Christian, so I met with him and then started talking about how we can work together. And I thought that we had a pretty good conversation. And I was pretty happy and thinking that, okay, maybe we will be able to do some work together. A couple of months later, I heard from someone from the organization that that particular person actually never wanted to work with me. So what happened was, through that meeting, he twisted everything that I said and went and told the people, the leadership of that organization, they're like, oh, they didn't want to work with us anyway. I don't know why he actually came to bother to talk to me. They have set all these different things, all these different conditions so that we cannot work with them. I was really, really hurt at that time. It's okay for me that we cannot work with this organization. But the reason why I was really hurt was that I was being very frank with that brothers and talk about the financial difficulties that we are going through and then the different things that we need to address. But instead of seeing that as a trust that we have developed, it was being used to say that I didn't want to work with them at all. And during that time, I was thinking about abandoning that particular project that I was going to do and said, forget it. I don't think I want to do this anymore. But somehow, God reminded me and said, are you going to abandon the plan that I have given you, the calling that I have placed in you, because of the mistrust that you have received? And throughout that period, I was struggling. But eventually, I learned from this passage and said that blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. It reminds me that it is God's calling that we trust. Even though there may be people that I work with, even though there may be Christians that I find that it's difficult to trust, that should not change my trust in the Lord. That should not make me doubt God's faithfulness in His calling for me. Together, as you work together to build this church up, you have to realize that we will always be working under this quandary. People cannot be trusted, but we must trust. By God's transformational power, we can learn to trust one another. And when that fails, ultimately, we have to allow our faith to guide us to trust in the Lord. That's what we have to be. And I don't know where you are at. For some of you today, maybe you have experienced some hurt from some relationship that you have, that you trusted the wrong person. As we go into breaking bread, I want us to think about what breaking bread means. Breaking bread is about trust. Breaking bread is about how we come to Christ and allow Him to cleanse us of our sins. Breaking bread is about how we come to Him and tell Him that, Lord, I'm sorry. May Your blood cleanse me. When you want to share with Christ the sins that you have done, and allowed Him to cleanse you, you have to trust Him. You have to trust that He is the one that died for your sin. So as we go into this time of breaking bread, I hope that you can take a few minutes to meditate. If you have been hurt by someone because you have mistrusted some person, allow God to come into your heart to heal you. And if you feel that you have offended God in some way, place your trust in God and allow God to cleanse your sins also. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to play Cornerstone as we sing Cornerstone again, because the song talks about our trust in the Lord and allow that to be our cornerstone as we come and partake in breaking bread.